Okay, so we're doing Parshas Kisisa, this past week's Parsha, and it's really about the Chet HaEgel, and specifically a Rashi, which I'm sure you're familiar with, but it's one thing to be familiar with, it's another thing to analyze it. So, as we know, the people who did this Chet HaEgel, so they were killed, right? They're punished with death. So how did they die? Does anyone know by what method did they die?
Lady killed them?
Was that a lady? Okay, good. So that's one answer, is that Shevet Levi was commanded to basically take swords and to go and to kill the sinners. And that was part of the way they were totally innocent, Shevet Levi. And that's the pasuk says, right? He said, Milah Hashem says, and this is in Lamed Beis Chafav, Vayamod Moshe B'Sham Achana. Moshe stood in the gate, Vayomer, and he said, Milah Hashem Elai, who is to Hashem? Come to me. Vayasu lo kol b'nei Levi, and all b'nei Levi came. Vayomer Lahem, he said to them, Kol Mar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, this is what Hashem says. Simu Vishchar Bal Yirecho, every person should take his sword on his thigh. Ivru V'shuvu Mishar L'shar Machana. Go, back and forth, from gate to gate. In the camp, but here go ishas krova, and kill your brother, your friend, your relative, right? And vayasu b'nei Levi, because our motion, sure enough, they did it. Vayipol minam bayamhu kishlosh esalf ish, and they did it, and they killed around 3,000 men. Okay, so that's one answer. That the way they died, the people who did the chet egel died, is via a sword. Specifically wielded by Shevet Levi. Okay, does anyone know of a different answer about how they died, the people who did the Chet HaEgel? Okay.
I don't know if I'm confusing this with something else, but wasn't it like burned down and it like melted and they had to like drink it? And then they killed them?
Oh, yes. Yes. Okay, good. They had to drink it. Perfect. So this is, 1 second. Oh, do you want me to come speaker? You want me to come speaker? Give me 1 second. I'm just putting on speaker. Okay. Okay. All right. Do you guys hear me? You hear me, Eric? Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah, so that's good. So, so it says, in Pasuk, right? It says, Vayikach es ha'egel, which is Laman Be'esaf, Asher Asu, and they took the egel that they made, Vayisro Ba'esh, and they burned it in fire, Vayitan Ara Shadak, and they ground it until it was fine, Vayizel Apneimayim, and they spread it surface of the water, Vayash gets B'nai Yisrael, and they caused B'nai Yisrael to drink it. Right? And Chazal say, Rashi says, Niskavim Labad Kam Kisota. The intent was to test them like Sota. So a sota is a woman who's accused by her husband of being unfaithful, of having an affair. So her husband warns her not to be alone with a certain man. And sure enough, she does get alone with that man with witnesses. And the husband has no way of knowing whether, in fact, she slept with this other guy or not. And ultimately, in the real world, there's no way, in our world, there's no way for a man to ever know whether his wife is innocent or guilty. And that's going to ruin a marriage. But the institution of Sota, the Torah sets up, that Hashem sets up a method but whereby the husband can know whether his wife is truly innocent and thereby repair the marriage. And that is, they take a Megillah, which has certain psukim written on it, including Shem Hashem, you dip it in the water, and she drinks it, and if she's guilty, then she blows up, she dies, and if she's innocent, then she lives. And this way, the husband, if she does not blow up, the husband will know that she's innocent, and that could restore the marriage, bring shalom to the family. So similarly, here, they drank the water of the Chet HaEgel, the water which had mixed into it the dust, the ashes of the Chet HaEgel, and whoever was guilty, I guess blew up, their stomach blew up, right? That's another way which they died. Okay? Does anyone know of a third way? Which they died? No. Yeah, plague. Plague. Now, maybe no one's thinking of plague these days. But sure enough, it says But Yigof Hashem Esa'am, this is in Pasuk Lamed Beis Lamedai, by Yigof Hashem Esa'am, and Hashem gave a plague to the people, to the nation, Allah Sha'asu Esa'igal, Hashem Asa Aram, they made the Egal that Aram made, so he gave them a plague, right? So, three different ways of killing the people, which are all in the Pesukim, basically, right? So did they die by the sword of Levi? Did they die of a plague? Or did they die of this Sotah drinking? So Rashi tells us, based on the Gemara, which I think we'll look at, but Rashi, this is Rashi in Lamed Beis Chaf, Rashi says, Vayashkes B'nei Yisrael, when it says they drank it, it says, Shavosh Misos Nidonu Sham. They were judged with three Misos. Im Yesh Edim Asra, if they did the sin, they bowed, they worshipped the Egel, with witnesses and with a warning, besides. Then they were killed with a sword. Kimishpat Anche Yohanidacha, Shem Rubin, because that's the ruling. If a nation, a city, Yohanidacha, a city strays after Avodah Zarah, the punishment which goes to the city, an individual does Avodah Zarah is stoned. But if a city, which is, as a community does Avodah Zarah, the halacha is that they get fired, which is beheaded with a sword. So this is, in a sense, it's like in Yeranidacha. It's like a city of people who are worshiping with Zara. The thing is, they get fired with a sword. So now the only thing is that, in general, if anyone knows a little bit about the death penalty in the Torah, so in order, there are two qualifications which are necessary in order for a person to get a death penalty. First of all, they have to do their crime in front of two witnesses, them, and secondly, they have to be warned. Okay, they have to be warned right before they do the crime. That's what the witnesses have to say. If you do this crime, you're going to be killed by the sword. And then he says, I don't care, I'm doing it anyways. And within Tokhide Divo, within 3 seconds or whatever, he does the crime. So right after the warning, in like absolute defiance of the explicit warning, called Hasra. Okay? So that's a general rule, always, by death penalty in the Torah court. Very hard to actually execute someone under those conditions. As soon as he does that, why would he do that? You could just wait 10 seconds and then do it, and then you're not going to be executed. So, again, so the people who did the Chet HaEgel under those conditions, namely they had two witnesses, and they were warned prior to them doing it, so they were killed with a sword, okay, which is the ordinary death penalty of a city, which is what the people who did it with witnesses, but were not warned, okay, witnesses but not warned, so people saw them doing it, but they weren't warned prior, they got a plague. Hashem punished them by plague. And the low edim v'lo hasra, those people who did it neither with witnesses nor with warning, they had roken, with this stomach, disease which distends the belly. Okay, some sort of a belly blowing out disease. Shebodkim hamayim, the water tested them, it's sabu bitnayim. And their belly became, blown up. Okay? So basically it's saying that these three different penalties for the Chet HaEgel correspond to the different ways in which people might have done this sin of worshiping the Egel. Okay? Okay. Okay, so any questions?
Did everybody have to drink the water?
Yes. It sounds like they had everyone in Klai Yisrael drink the water because they didn't know who were the people who did and who were the people who didn't. Right? So that's yes. It seems like they did. Everyone had to drink it.
How big was the population then?
I don't know. I guess this is like after, right around Sinai time. So I don't know. Men, women, and children, like 2 million? 1 million, 2 million, something like that. A lot. Very big.
The level of organization they have is really remarkable relative to us today.
It's true.
Can't get anyone to stay home.
True, it must have been a lot of organization, well organized. A lot of water drinking. Yep. Yeah, okay, good. Any other questions? About what do you think about these three different methods of dying?
When was there a warning to them?
Oh, that's a good question. So some say that Shevet Levi or some people like that went around and warned them, some individuals, people, to tell them not to do it, not to worship it. Mm-hmm. Oh, I forgot there's a Ramban. Oh, 1 second. Let me just remember where that Ramban was. Hold on. There's no singing Ramban. Yeah, give me a second. Let me see if I can pull that out. I forgot about that Ramban. Yeah, and the Ramban says, yeah, maybe according to the Chazal, they Shevet Levi went around and warned people. But let me pull up the Ramban. That was interesting. Oh, yeah, here it is. Okay. The Ramban says like this. He says, basically, the Ramban learns a little different than the Chazal, but he says that there were many people who did Avodah Zarah, and they couldn't bring them all to Beis Din. And that's why there are too many people to process. That's why B'nai Levi, Shevet Levi, went around and killed them. Because that's a halacha, that if you can't, even though Beis Din has specified methods of killing, halacha is if it's not practical to kill them by that specified method, you could use any method. So basically, in this case, it wasn't practical. So therefore, they just have Shevet Levi going around and killing the people, the sinners. Okay, and he says, Ramban says, this whole thing was Horas Shah, for Kiddush Hashem, which means it wasn't a technical letter of the law of punishment, but it was Hashem told the Navi, told Moshe Rabbeinu, I guess, to kill these people, to bring back Kiddush Hashem. Why does he say it's Horas Shah? Because as Eyal was mentioning, there wasn't any warning, because who was warning them? Right? That's what Ramban is saying. Ramban says, whether they were warned about anyone being warned. So that's what Ramban says, the whole thing was a momentary lapse in the normal technical halacha, which normally you need hasra to get killed. Here he's saying is no one warned them. But basically, Shevet Levi went around and killed the people who they knew, who they saw, who they recognized, that they worshipped. That's what the Ramban personally he says. He says that really there was no hasra, and the whole thing was an exceptional halacha from the Navi, you know, the Hashem told Moshe. But he knows about the Gemara, so he says the Gemara holds, apparently, the one which based on the Rashi, that there were people who were in the Manasra, right? So apparently he says that according to those, the Shevet, what happened was, the swords were basically in Beis Din. They basically brought the sinners to Beis Din, to Moshe and the Sanhedrin in the court, and the people who they actually were at Eid the Manasra were killed, just like normal Avodah Zarah. Okay? And B'nai Levi were the ones who gave Asra, right? They warned people, don't worship it. Okay, fine. Yeah.
Why do you need these three different methods? If the water works, then they should just do that.
Yeah, that's a good question, right? Why do you need three methods? Right. If water works, so then just have everyone drink the water. Right? Okay. So I could see a difference, though, between, look, you don't need the water for people who you know were warned who and or had witnesses, because that's the general halacha, that Beis Din kills people who do violate the Torah. And they violated the mitzvah of Avodah Zarah, and therefore they're witnesses, and the whole, you could do the ordinary court procedure. But then, that I hear. And then for people who basically the ordinary procedure doesn't work, because you don't know if they're guilty or something like that, so then you have them drink the water, right? But what do you also need the plate? And furthermore, well, does anyone know why you need hasra, the typical reason, why do you need warning in order before you kill somebody? Why is that necessary?
Because there was something the person wasn't aware of, or...
Yeah, right, exactly. So they say is, to differentiate, to know that they were aware, that they did it on purpose. If you don't warn a person, maybe they were a shogeg, maybe they didn't really know. Maybe they forgot, they didn't realize, they who knows what, right? So that's typically the reason given for the requirements for hasra, right? So if that's the case, so in this instance, presumably you'd say, there are certain people who we didn't know. we didn't know if they knew that it was forbidden to bow down to a goat like that, or something like that, right? They didn't realize, they thought, whatever. So if that's the case, we don't know if they were mazed or shogeg, if they were will intentional or unintentional. So then why not just give them the water to drink? Right, isn't that the same thing? Basically, we don't know. Everyone probably said we didn't know if they worshipped. And then there were some people we know they worshipped with witnesses, but we don't know if they were intentional. So shouldn't that just be included in the drinking the water and let Hashem decide whether or not they were guilty or that they do our purposeful or not? Right, why do you need three methods? I hear two methods. I hear the idea of having, when the human court has the ability to prosecute, then let the human court prosecute. That's when the Zayd Ibn Asra. But when the human court doesn't know if they did it or if they were warned, you know, or if they were amazed, so then just have the drinking. Let them drink the water and that'll be it. Why do you need a third method? A plague. Or alternatively, you could just say, look, the courts will kill the people they could kill and everyone else will die of a plague. Right? It's more to me the difference, why is there the subdivision within the ones who are killed by God? Why is God killing them by two different methods? Right?
Is there any difference between the types of people that we know of?
Between the types of people?
Yes, the ones who are killed by the plague and the ones who are killed by the water.
I mean, in some sense, the people who were killed by the plague were people who had witnesses to the fact that they did it. So that means they did it in front of witnesses. And the people who were killed by the Sota, they did it not in front of witnesses. They weren't witnesses there. So I guess they did it in private or something. And no one knew about it other than God. So in some sense, that does indicate some sort of a difference, I would think. I mean, sometimes whether witnesses or not could be accidental, but yeah, go ahead.
But can you say there's a different limud for everybody else, like the people who didn't do the avodah zarah, that they learned something different, like it meant something different to them by seeing the different types of death?
Okay, maybe that's a good approach. Let me just tell you one other piece of information, and then we'll pursue it. But I like your approach, Esther. You're single. So just one other. The Gemara actually has a three-way machlokas about why there were three different methods of dying. Okay, one of which is the one that we talked about. But there's another position who maintains different, that it says, Zivach v'kiter b'sayet. If someone is slaughtered or brought incense before the egel, which are basically formal methods of avodah zarah, if they did a formal method of avodah zarah, then they get killed with the sword. There's certain methods, certain things that would make a person chayav nisa for doing avodah zarah. So like, for example, bring incense or slaughtering an animal to it. But if they hugged and kissed the idol, the calf, that typically does not bring with it a death penalty. Okay? So then we wouldn't be able to kill them, because after all, that's not punishable by death. Then Hashem gave them a plague. And then people who didn't even do that, they didn't even hug and kiss it, but they were just happy. They were happy about what was going on. Then Hashem, they did the drinking thing, and they died through the stomach blowing up. Okay? Right. So that's like an alternate shot. It's an alternate explanation for these three things. Again, ours is Eidim and Hasra, gets Nisa, and then Eidim, you know, the sword, and then only Eidim nor Hasra is the plague, and then neither Eidim nor Hasra gets the drinking. But this shot is saying if you did a formal worship, then you get the sword. Like, informal hugging and kissing is the plague, and just being happy about what happened, which is a funny kind of a sin, then you get the Sota, drinking. So again, I'm not sure that that's going to help as much as it's another piece of information, which maybe we'll be able to explain. But it's, you know, interesting.
Does that have to be a different shot, or could that be the mindset of the people who did the
social awareness? Good question. The Gemara brings it down as a machlokas, Rav and Levi. Rav says one and Levi says other. So it seems like it's a different shot. But maybe they're similar or slightly different, or, you know, it's not clear. I guess they're factually different. On a factual level, they're different. Right? Because what are you doing? In the first way, everyone is only getting killed for worshiping. Mamish worshiping. The question is, how do we know? How did you worship? With Eden, with warning. In this way, it's like different activities you're doing, not only for worshiping, but even for kissing and hugging or for being happy. Right? So it's a little bit different. Well, maybe they were. Maybe they're, yeah?
Oh, so did they have any chance of doing tshuva for anything?
The sinners? Yeah, probably before they died. But I don't know if that's going to get them out of death penalty. But I guess everyone else had a chance of doing tshuva. Seems like everyone else was also somehow guilty. Ka Yisrael was guilty, not just these people. It seems like we didn't stop it. We didn't do anything about it. So even the people who, you know, didn't die, arguably are guilty. It's a national sin, national blemish, which is always on our record. Arguably, we all sinned in some regard, but we didn't, not in this extreme way. But arguably, these people, you know, when Beis Din kills a person, he does tshuva before he's killed. And he says, let my death and let this misa be a kapara for all my sins. So, arguably, they did tshuva, but that doesn't get you out of, you don't get out of the death penalty for doing tshuva. Certainly not the human death penalty. Yeah, okay, so Esty was suggesting a direction, which I think would have to be developed, but maybe that there's different lessons to be learned by killing these three different classes of people in three different ways, right? Or at least the two different classes of people, right? The one who Beis Din kills seems to be a class unto itself, but... Okay, so maybe I guess if so, the question would be, what would be the lesson? What would be the idea that you're supposed to be learned? Okay, any thoughts?
Maybe we can look at other situations where there was a plague as a punishment and use that as a way to understand like what types of sins would be worthy of a plague.
Perhaps, but we wouldn't really understand those sins in their own right either. Right, like this is... perhaps that would help. But, again, just having a list of a lot of sins, I don't know if it would make things easier or harder. You know, we don't understand those sins, you know, as much as we understand this. So you could try that.
Well, in the case of the ones that were... sorry.
I was just thinking specifically about when the census, where they were counted and then there was a plague. So that was an example of a punishment
that
was
just, okay. Right, but arguably if we wanted to understand that, we'd have to spend, go through the psukim and the rashis on that and try to understand that. And then I'll try to do the rashis on this and understand that and then try to combine them together. So my preference in general is like that type of, you know, comparative study is like a level 2 type of a question. I like to try to understand as best as we could each thing in isolation, and then maybe afterwards we could see if we could draw connections. So, but there are different approaches, but that's how I like to analyze these types of things. But
just,
you could, you
just
know,
to clarify.
Yeah.
Just to clarify, the gold water was... that was to distinguish between the people who did it or didn't do it, right? And the plague was to distinguish between people who didn't know what the kavana was when they did it.
Well, it doesn't quite say that. It just says people who did it with witnesses and not with hasra. Those are the ones who died of the plague.
So, I mean, I could see saying that there's a reason to distinguish between people that they are certain that they did it and people that they don't know whether they did it. Because, I mean, I don't have a fully fleshed out thing, but treating the people who did it, well, like, like who definitely did it, and as the same as the people who didn't necessarily do it, the either way, having no distinction between the two groups, I'd say minimizes the I don't exactly know how to describe the quality, but it makes the violation of the people who definitely did it seem less extreme, because they're being grouped together with the people who didn't necessarily do it.
Well, the people who die are the people who did necessarily do it. It's just, we don't know, but the ones who God killed are the ones who did necessarily do it. You know, we just are in doubt, so we just have everyone drink. But ultimately, people who die are the people who definitely did it.
I think what Isaac is saying in terms of the effect of the people who had witnessed it, it was important that they see a specific consequence to those people that was differentiated from people that they were unsure about.
I see. Okay, I hear you.
I had a thought in a different direction about Levy.
Yeah.
That maybe it was important both for Shavit Levy, who was willing to fight against it, for them to actually be able to like enact the, like a little bit like Pinchas with killing Zimmerman Cosby, that there should be like an act of like stamping out the people who violated, and that was good for Shavit Levy and good for everybody else to see that.
Right. That's true. That's good. I mean, it's important for a nation to stand up for the most important values. And if there's a idolatry can't be tolerated amongst God Israel, part of what God separated us from, and we have a group of people who are taking a stand, and despite friends and relatives and whatever, they're willing to stand up for truth above all else, and it goes, Baruch Hu Milah Hashem Elai, who's to Hashem with me. So the Shevet Levi, there was part of a value in Kal Yisrael to continue on with Kal Yisrael after the Cheder Egel. You had to have a group of people who said, "We can't exist. You can't exist if you're involved in idolatry." And people who we know about who did it in an egregious manner, namely with witnesses and with warning, and they were totally violent, blatantly, flagrantly, worshiping the Egel, no concern for consequences. Is valuable for us, the Shevet Levi in specific, but I guess anybody, to go and wipe them out, right, in a manifest way. And that sends a message to people going forward that this is not tolerated. But those are only people who really, that's Jesus says that. And that's only for people who really did it with Edom and Hashra. Okay, good. But then you have people who did it with Edom, but not with Hashra, right? So we as a nation know that they didn't. And this, I guess, gets to what Isaac and Esther are saying. So we know that they did it, right? But we can't execute them. We can't prosecute them because they didn't do it in the most egregious, rebellious, obvious way that they were nazis, right? And as such, the court's hands are tied. Right? The court can't act on that type of a thing. The court has specific requirements which allow us to act. And even if it seems to us that they were doing it on purpose and we saw the witnesses and all that, bottom line is there's a very specific formula which allows Bezdin to act. God set that up in the Torah to minimize Bezdin killing people. In general, God doesn't want us to kill people often. And the only way you're going to do it is someone meets these very strict criteria, which is rare. Right? So it must exist. We have to have capital punishment because sometimes there's egregious sinners. At the same time, it's set up in a way that it's very hard for anybody to actually get. So it exists as a deterrent, but it's not going to be utilized that often. It doesn't need to be utilized that often. Right? They say, Chazal say something like, in once every 7 years. Was, or 70, it's a machloka, 7 or 70. So you see, it was not meant to be utilized all too often. Fine, but in this was a rare case. But again, so people who couldn't, who didn't meet the criteria, we couldn't kill. But at the same time, we're going to have them walking around in society. Just normal. These are people who we know bow down to the ego. The whole idea is Kaisel is a nation which has to be totally divorced from idolatry. And here you have people who directly, right after our Sinai, they bow down to the ego, and we're going to have them amongst our midst. So Hashem basically killed these people through a magefa, right? Through a plague. He wiped every one of those out, right? Okay? He wiped all those people out through a plague. And thereby it shows that God doesn't tolerate this in the nation. We see those consequences. And it's clear that it's the hand of God in it. Because why? How is it clear that it's the hand of God?
But the people that everyone saw, right? Once everyone saw did it were the ones who died.
Yeah, right, exactly. The ones who died, and the only ones who died, were the people who everyone saw worship, right? So if anyone who was worshipped with witnesses died, right? Everyone. And everybody who didn't worship with witnesses didn't die. So that's not the way plagues ordinarily work. Typically, a plague doesn't differentiate between good and bad. Plagues, typically, they spread and they're contagious, and they just, even Chazal say, once the rishus is given to the destroyer to destroy, it doesn't differentiate between good and evil. Plagues are like that. They spread. But here, this was a very targeted plague, uncharacteristically targeted, only to people who they knew. Everybody knew. There were witnesses who knew that these people did it. Now, we can't kill them by ourselves because they didn't do it hasra. Our hands are tied. But at the same time, God wipes them out in a way which shows us that that idolaters are not to be tolerated. Okay? Okay, good. And then you have the third class of people. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm just thinking that the results for the drinking the water and the plague, they seem like the same kind of a result, no? I mean, they both end up dying.
Yes, that was
the
question.
And it's both from like a physical...
Yes, that's an excellent question. That's the main problem, which we haven't answered yet. Yeah. Well, let's see. So now let's talk about the third group. So the third group of people are the people who we don't know, right? Basically everybody, right? And then what happened is everybody in Klal Yisrael was given to drink from this water. And then God killed these people with the stomach blowing up, right? So the question was, why not use the same method? Why do you have a new method? Right? So you think we answered it already?
Yes, because otherwise it wouldn't be clear that a method is directly from Hashem to kill the people who did a Bodhisattva.
Okay, good.
There would just be a lot of people dying, and it wouldn't be specifically the people who you know served a Bodhisattva.
Yeah, good. Right. So if you had a Magefa for everybody, so then we're going to see a lot of people who we know worship dying, and a lot of other people dying. So we're just going to think, oh, it's a virus, it's a plague, right? And you're not going to know that it's clearly Me'an Hashem. You just say, oh, that's just what happens. Plague you get, some good people, some bad people. But the fact that the plague is targeting only those who worship openly that we know of, and all those who worship that we know of, and nobody else, so that's what allows it to be clear that this is a direct plague from the hand of God. Right? Okay. So let me ask you this. So what would happen if you did it the other way? That let everybody, if you get the plague, let everybody drink. And those who die, clearly there was Zohar. Some people who we know worship, because we saw. Right? And other people who didn't worship, or we don't know if they worshiped, but apparently they did. Right? You're not going to say, see, a plague, I understand the plague is catchy. But you're not going to say that, like, the people who die from drinking, it's clear that it's God killing them. You're just drinking water with a little piece of gold in it or whatever. And now you're dying, your belly blows up. It's like a clear manifestation, a miraculous type of a death. So then just do that. Why do you need to have, like, a different method? Right?
I think, again, the effect on people would be different.
Okay.
I can't spell out exactly, but I feel like seeing people that you knew, that you, like, saw doing their voters, like, I think this goes back to what Isaac was saying before. It wouldn't be good to lump them together, people that you weren't sure about. It was just good to see that entire category suffer the same fate. And then it's just clear that there's a direct consequence for what they did. And then the other people, because you didn't know for sure, like you didn't see, it just came about in a different way. And that, now you know what happened to them also.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
I think also it's more of a lesson or more opportunity to do tshuva for those who did it hidden.
Those who?
Those who did it in private. Like it would be more...
Oh, okay.
I don't know, maybe it would affect them differently.
Okay.
Or maybe, is it like a more of a, which way is worse, though, the plague or the other thing?
I don't know. Pick your poison. Not sure. They both sound pretty uncomfortable. Okay, anyone else?
I thought maybe one was worse.
Maybe. I know.
And that's why the worst group got the worst one.
Yeah, I hear you.
Just, I don't know what's worse.
I know. Just if anything, I would think the worst would be the blowing up. But I would think that the worst sinners would be the people that did it with witnesses. It's like a more, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Blowing up seems to have like an element of embarrassment, no?
Of what?
Like embarrassment.
Oh.
Like they know it's coming.
Up.
And
yeah.
Like they know it's coming and they're like, you know.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah, so maybe like this is, maybe similar to what you guys are saying is that, see, in the drinking, there are different lessons and different things which we take from it, okay? In other words, you're right, God could have just wiped them all out the same method, but they're different, like, takeaways. So one idea of the takeaway is that people we know are sinners, God just kills all them, okay? So we know anyone who is a known sinner, God just wipes them out, right? And we see that. There's another lesson, I think, which just comes from, you hear after the ego, let's say you have the plague, okay? Plague wipes out people, right? All the people who we know, the plague wipes out. All the people we know with their witnesses and Hasrav, they'll be killed. Now you've got Klal Yisrael go forward. But we know that there are other people in Klal Yisrael who did it. Right? We know that there are other sinners. It wasn't only the people we didn't witness, everyone who did it. There are closet idol worshippers and all that. And that's not good for the Klal. That's bad for us to know that we have people amongst our myth who will never know if they really were or not. That's going to create like a inability of Klal Yisrael to move forward, almost akin to a husband not knowing whether his wife had an affair. Like you'll never know. You just have this mystery, and how are we going to ever relate to our neighbor and our friend and all that if we don't have this uncertainty, right? And what Hashem does is like we never know, but there's a lesson is that God knows everything. God is all knowing, and God punishes whether we know or don't know. God's punishment is you can't hide from God. And that's part of the lesson, is that there are evil people in our midst who are secretly, who did the ego in private, I guess, in a way that, you know, no one knew about. And they kind of were hoping to get away with it or whatever. But the lesson is that God punishes those people as well in a way who makes it manifest. They drink it, and the Hashem manifest. They're trying to hide, but on the contrary, you can't hide from the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And yeah, maybe you're right, what you're saying, Naomi, it's embarrassing. It is. You know, it's this public thing, you drink and you blow up and everyone sees. And here it is, you're trying to hide. But there is a lesson in the punishment of Hashem, which is you can't hide from God. You might be able to hide from people. You know, some people sin in the face of people, and those God killed through my gate. But then there are other people who are like hiding from God, and those people are, there's another, by having a distinct method, you highlight like a different facet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sin, which is his all-knowingness and his process in punishing those who hid from man, but yet ended up doing the sin anyways. So it's like, but when you group everything together, it's like it doesn't, the lessons remain, you know, aren't distinct. So the idea of like the drinking was specifically showing God revealing what people don't know. And if you can do everyone that way, then it's like that idea doesn't come through in the same way. So by separating off the Magefa people, so the Magefa people shows Hashem punishing the ones who the known sinners, and this shows a different idea of Hashem revealing the secrets and, you know, uncovering those who are closet sinners. And thereby allowing Klal Yisrael to not have any closet sinners amongst us, but to be able to move forward as a nation which was totally extricated from the Chet HaEgel. Because everybody who did it, in public or in private, we know for sure, going forward, everyone here is kosher. The remaining people are definitely kosher, and now we could continue as a nation which is totally to God. Right? Similar to a husband who resolves his knowledge through, you know, he knows, she knows her husband is, but he knows that his wife has been faithful. And is totally, you know, with him. Okay, are we good so far?
Yeah, but you still would have got that if everyone died that way.
Everyone died through the drinking?
Yeah.
But I think that if everyone dies through drinking, it's like that's not, it's like when you mix together, it's like you don't focus on that idea. The concept doesn't come through in the same way. The concept of God revealing the hidden people comes through when you're doing it for all the hidden people. To mix together that with my gefa, now it's going to be, it's like you're trying to do two things simultaneously, you know, but then it ends up losing the focus. There's like a different idea to learn from that process, you know. So, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Despite that they're all getting killed, the God doesn't have to economize. There's different methods and different, you know, he keeps them all separate. Yeah. And now that one, you're not worried about the fact someone's going to say, oh, maybe some random people are gone. Because by the Magefa, you have to worry about that because it's contagious. But this is clear that it's an Hashem because it's like a miraculous type of death. Right? Yeah, okay, good. Any other question? We're going to go for this. Still the other position in the Gemara, but is there any question on this so far? Okay. So then you have the other position. So that one says that if they worshipped with, if they actually worship, then they get, you know, killed by the sword. If they hugged and kissed, then Hashem killed them through a plague. And if they just were happy about it, so then they got the drinking of the water. Right? So it's interesting, because normally hugging and kissing doesn't carry a death penalty, neither by a human court nor by God's court. Right? It's a lav, you get malchus, I think you get whipped, but you don't get killed. But here, even the people who merely hugged and kissed and didn't worship, they were also killed, albeit through Magefa. Again, Bezin can't kill them because Bezin doesn't kill for that. But God did. So how do you interpret that? Forgetting about the happy part, but just in terms of hugging and kissing, why is there this difference?
Wait, did Klal Yisrael know what was going on with those people?
I guess according to this pshat, I guess so. I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean, whether they were witnesses or whatever, this pshat doesn't emphasize that or not. But I guess they put two and two together. You know, it doesn't have, this pshat doesn't explain that. But I guess they'd be able to realize that. Because I guess, yeah, I guess that's going to try to prosecute them, and they'll be, oh, yeah, I don't worship. Okay. Yeah, but you were hugging and kissing her. Well, that's not punishable like that. They say, okay, I guess not. But then, sure enough, my gay flag is going to spread to all those people. What I'm saying is, why do they have to be killed? Just give them lashes and move on. And then, I guess it's the same question, is that people are happy? That, you know, killed by death for being happy? Right? I mean, that's even more extreme.
It seems like a parallel to the other case, because in the one that was killed by the plague, it was, they did it in a way that was like a technicality. They avoided being killed, and the other ones were hidden. Like in both cases, no, it's just different.
Right.
Wait,
it's
right?
True. It is similar. It's true. So you mean the hidden one? You still have the drinking. Shows the hidden ones. So happy. No one's gonna know if you're happy or not. Only one can know is God. Could reveal that you're happy. But the people who hugged and kissed, you only got the reveal. Everyone knows that. But we can't kill them because technically they didn't do the test of worship. But God could kill them. That's true. But it still begs the question is, why are you killing people for hugging and kissing?
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system. Is not available. The mailbox is full and cannot accept any messages at this time. Goodbye.
Hello? You guys still there?
Yeah. Hello?
Yeah, still here.
Okay. I'm not sure what to do about that. Okay. Huh? I don't know. Okay. Yeah.
You hung up on me before. Did that happen to anyone else?
No, I don't know. Did anyone hear that voice message thing?
Oh, no,
yeah, we all heard it.
Just hung. Yeah.
You all heard it.
Before, okay.
Okay,
for me,
whatever.
You hung up.
Okay, whatever. We're all good. Okay? All's well that ends well. Yeah, so what's the sense of killing those people? It doesn't seem like they really did death-worthy crimes. Right? They just hugged and kissed, and were happy.
Because maybe the same thing as the other time, like going forward, you won't be able to, like, trust anyone the same way if you don't know if they were... Like, even if they didn't actually physically serve it, if they, like, wanted to, they were happy about serving it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can't have a society where some people are, like, were happy about it versus
mm-hmm.
a lot of people.
Yeah. Okay. Good. But an individual who serves, who hugs in any random era.
It's just one person, not the half of
them. Right.
Like, era and adult, well, actually, I don't know. They don't get punished if they're not. Never mind.
Yeah. Okay, good. Good. Someone else want to say something?
Yeah, it's just, I was thinking, like, of it, the difference between the plague and the drinking is that, like, a plague is really technically something that, you know, as we know, it can affect everybody. So it seems like even if you get, you know, your behavior that's publicly displayed has an impact on it. Everybody, just like a plague, but something that you do in secret maybe just has an effect on you, which is like,
mm-hmm.
you know, just drinking the water. That's something that you harm yourself.
Right. Someone is accidentally calling someone at this, I don't know, on their line or something. I don't know, that's kind of strange.
I hear it too.
Yeah. Okay. It stopped again. I think we better wrap this up soon. Who knows what's going to happen here? Okay. So, yeah. So maybe like this is that, yeah, I hear what you're saying, Naomi. Good. Yeah. So that this is a big deal. This isn't just an isolated person, you know, hugging an idol. This is the Chet HaEgel, and it's a national failure where a nation was taken out of Mitzrayim, went to Har Sinai. Given the Torah, the Ten Commandments, soon thereafter, massively fail, and as a nation, worship the ego, the antithesis of the whole Torah. And basically, at this point, Klal Yisrael as a whole is going to be destroyed, if not for Moshe Rabbeinu intervening. As a nation, we failed. Right? Now, some people worshiped, some people didn't worship. But the nation as a whole let it happen. Right? And it's a blemish on the nation as a whole. And the nation as a whole would have been wiped out if not for Moshe Ben Espila intervening. And it could be the terms of the nation continuing was that anyone who was involved in this in any way whatsoever, even internally, is not part of the nation. The nation could continue because everybody who worshiped, everybody who even hugged and kissed, anybody who was even happy to see this going on, to see God being dropped, so to speak, for an idol, anyone like that simply couldn't continue. The nation wouldn't continue if not for the fact that all those people are eradicated. So it's like, what did they do? Well, the whole nation failed. And what allows the nation to go on is that we know going forward that there's no one in the nation who is even a sympathizer to it. Yes, not yes, we all sinned and we didn't stop it. That's true. There are a lot of people who sinned and didn't stop it. They weren't happy about it, but they didn't stop it. And that is sinful. That you could go on. But anyone who has felt too guilty or too shameful to do it, but they were happy and they were enjoying watching, they were vicariously enjoying other people do it, they can't be part of the nation. We have to know. Everybody has to know. Everyone in Klal Yisrael drinks it. And anyone who has leanings, sympathies towards the Avodah Zarah, certainly anyone who hugged and kissed, who acted on those sympathies, and all the more so anyone who actually worshipped it, they all have to be eradicated. And as Naomi was saying before, is that the people who we saw, they're killed by Amagefa, and that shows that God knows that they did it. We can't kill them technically, but God singles them all out in a targeted way, and we could appreciate that, we could see that. And then the people who did, who were in their heart, that's something which is not knowable. So it's not going to make it, it's not going to show anyone anything. But then you have to have this miraculous method of killing, which God is selecting them out. And we know, the same as before, you see that God is all-knowing and he doesn't tolerate. To have Klal Yisrael continue, it's necessary to wipe out anyone, even those who had leaning towards the Avodah. Because we're a nation which is not lean, no leaning towards the Avodah. Our nation's identity is antithetical to the Avodah. Good?
Great.
Okay, so it's interesting, the machlokas, I wonder if that, I don't know, it's interesting, the two different positions. I mean, they're not that different, but they're different insofar as, I guess according to the first way, only worshippers were killed. According to the second way, not only worshippers, but even these people who are huggers and kissers and, sympathizers were killed. Maybe that's the difference between the two, right? Maybe that's the first one doesn't agree with that. Maybe the first one would agree that if you didn't actually worship, maybe you'd be able to make it. I don't know, that's interesting. It's interesting to question, to think into more, like what exactly is the argument. Yeah, they're similar, but yet different, you know? Yeah, what was that? Someone was going to say something? All right. So I guess we'll stop here. It was nice of whoever is with us to join us. You're welcome to join. In general, we do this on Tuesday nights. If I know anyone else who isn't on the WhatsApp wants to join, you could just send me. We have WhatsApp groups, so you could send me a message. All righty. Have a good night, everybody.
Yeah, it was really interesting.
You.